Hello and welcome along to another episode of Business Matters on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. On this week's programme, I'll be finding out more about Emerald Education, which is based in Bundoran. A mum of three daughters, Elaine Lingard, wanted them to get the best from her. She left the school system having been a teacher and started tutoring, giving her also a better work-life balance and more time with her family. Back in 2016, she founded Emerald Education, initially tutoring children in person and soon adding the option of online learning. Indeed, she began tutoring maths and English, working with children all over the world, ranging from Portugal to the United States, China, Japan, Hong Kong, Indonesia, Australia, and the United Arab Emirates, to name but a few. She offers maths and English tuition for students aged from 5 to 18. She also has exam revision classes that have helped students gain confidence and improve their grades. And she prides herself with her unique tailor-made approach to ensure that students get the extra support in exactly the right places to help them succeed. As well as online courses, in-person tuition and tutoring online, she also does dyslexia and dyscalculia screening tests and also various camps. And, as we shall hear, she's also the author of a number of very interesting education-related books. And this part of the interview is particularly worth listening to, especially if you're a parent. Her first book was called Master Your Times Tables in a Month, which is full of clever little tricks that she uses to make learning easier. She's had sales of this book to all over the world. Well, I recently paid a visit to Emerald Education in Bundoran to find out more. Well, Elaine, delighted to be here in Bundoran, and we're going to hear all about your business, Emerald Education, and maybe a good starting point is this is your 10th anniversary year, so a very special year. So what's the business all about?
Well, the business really essentially started off with me being a teacher and wanting to be at home with my own kids a little bit more. So the essence of it is for me to be able to help children and work around my family. Initially, I started working with one-to-one kids way back, and I was finding my feet because I was learning the system over here too, because I qualified as a teacher way back in 93. That was not yesterday. And I was a primary teacher working in England. I wanted to be able to use my skills, but I also wanted to be at home for my own kids. And that balance is always a hard one for teachers.
Indeed. So you came to Bundoran, and just, I suppose, the English education system and the Irish one, did you find a big difference in that?
Yeah. Now, at the time I was leaving, the English system was, 14 years ago. I went back to Scotland for a little while while I had my two younger kids, and the system was just changing dramatically at the time in England, and it was all the really formal grammar pieces and things like that that were coming in. And I became really disillusioned, so it was a brilliant time for me to actually leave that system, because it was pushing kids through hoops that they didn't really need to go through. What 7-year-old needs to know what a superlative adjective is, for example, you know? It's that sort of thing that I really didn't feel good about. It wasn't sitting well on my shoulders.
Tell me about the very early days. Did you see this as just maybe a sideline, or from the word go, did you think this is something that I can really develop into a business?
I had an idea that I wanted it to be a business. I had no idea it would be something that I could actually live off at the time, because I had tutored in Scotland when I lived there. I was working for a company in just outside Edinburgh, and I did a few years, I think it was about 4 years, working in a tuition centre. So I had an impression of how that kind of business might work. And when we relocated here, I thought, right, I'm going to bite the bullet, I'm going to do it. And I thought, it can work or it might not. Let's have a try. And here I am 10 years later, it's still going, so it definitely works.
And the target market, was it very much sort of infants and young primary kids?
Initially, yeah. because that was my comfort zone, you know, that was my bread and butter. I could do it with my eyes closed and my hands tied behind my back. I'd been teaching in primary education myself for about 18 years by that point, and I had a few years' experience with tutoring. So when I started, that was my target audience was the primary children. But as time passed, my own children were growing older, so I was working more with the curriculum as they moved through school, knowing what was expected. And that's when I started levelling up is not quite the right phrase, but working with older students at that point. And now I think probably half of my students are junior cycle or leaving cert. So it's changed.
So when you were starting off, how did you explain the business to people? Was it an after-school place? Was it what way did you market and explain the whole concept?
It was an after-school activity, if you like. So I marketed it as something that would be perfect for children who needed just a little bit of extra help, or children who were really bright and bored at school who might need an extension. So that was the way that I pushed the idea of the business initially. Now it's a very different message that I put out there. These days it is something that supports the learning, and it's done side by side to really reinforce when the school doesn't have time to go back and repeat topics and so on. It gives students that extra little bit of confidence. So I sell and market my business now as something that provides confidence for kids instead of something that provides a catch-up service. So the two messages are very different. It's moved a lot over time.
And is it tying in with the normal academic year?
More or less, yes. Now, I do have students that work with me during school holidays, but the numbers do drop dramatically during the holidays. I also have quite a few international students, so I work online as well. I was kind of ahead of the curve when it came to online learning. I actually started working online with students 9 years ago. So by the time COVID hit, I was well in the game. I knew what I was doing. I was working online for a few years by then. So it was a very simple transition for me just to move business online, where everybody else was floundering and trying to find a system that worked. Mine was already smooth and running.
So tell us a little bit about the whole online business. If somebody, well, it could be anywhere in the world, they see your website, what exactly is the story that they're going to see?
Well, when it comes to my online work, a lot of them find me through social media. A few have found me through the website, but many people see the message and the marketing that I put over my socials. And I think being myself on the social media platforms and people feeling like they know me really helps, because you've got that connection straight away that you wouldn't necessarily get just by looking at a website. So having that already up and running, it's kind of like a bond people get with you when they connect with you on social media. And we just take it from there. I've got kids at the moment that I work with from Malaysia, Saudi Arabia. I've got some in the Middle East. I was working with kids in Australia, America. And so I've got kids all over the world that I've worked with. So it's been an absolute pleasure, you know, learning about how children learn in different places around the world. Even I had a really good run of children from Hong Kong. I've just finished working with the last one recently, and learning how the system is really different to what we experience over here. It gives me that opportunity to glean all the great bits, the best practices from all over the world, and I can offer a really different service to my students because I have that unique perspective.
So these people abroad, or their parents, they'll see about what you can offer. So obviously you charge them. Is it an hourly thing, or is it a block, or how does that work?
Generally, we go for blocks of 10 sessions, and I always have the repeat signing up. I generally work with the students abroad for a few years. I've been very, very fortunate that families want to stay with me, and even the siblings end up working with me, or cousins or friends. So the blocks of 10 is a really good model. It gives them a chance to really embed in the learning process with me. They really get to grips with how I work. They begin to see progress, and we do assessments at the beginning of the time with me and then at the end of the 10-week block, so they can see the progress the student is making.
And are these children, are they people with an English-speaking background, or are they foreign people who want to develop the English language for their kids?
So far, all but one have had English-speaking backgrounds. I've had one child that I was teaching English to as we go along, which is absolutely fine too, because I do have a TEFL qualification as well, so it's all good.
Now, there is the standard education, the models in Britain and in Ireland, but you bring your own sort of aspects to it as well.
Yeah. Now, I have a philosophy where I start where the child is at. In school, the expectation is that the child will be working at a certain level, and the textbooks, etc., for that year will be geared to that level. Many children fall short of that mark. And that's where the disillusionment starts and the school phobias and everything begin. Now, I reach the point where I teach them from where they're at. And it doesn't matter if it's a couple of years behind. They will start from their baseline and we work from there. And I've seen children make 2 years reading progress within 12 weeks, which is phenomenal. It just needs the right strategy and starting at the right point.
And back to the people who are online, would you be dealing with a number of people at the one time, and how does that all come together?
Usually with the online classes, I usually work one-to-one. I do run some workshops where I would have several on at the same time, but those would be quite generic topics, so I would be teaching a topic to a group of students rather than starting at the point that they were at. Now, in terms of the online kids, most of the time I would be working with them one-to-one, and I would be dealing with their specific learning needs or their gaps in the learning. So I would be making a tailor-made programme for them.
Now, we're sitting here in the Emerald Education offices, and I can see, well, lots of certificates and diplomas, which is very impressive. On one wall face me, and then the others, there's various posters, a bit of algebra, there's all sorts of things, long division tables and everything. So what actually goes on in this building here? Are there people coming in throughout the year?
Yes, yeah. Now, during the day, I sometimes have some students in who are homeschooled or might not be able to go to school for various reasons. So we have some visitors into the building during the day. I would have after school classes in here where there would be small groups of up to five at a time, would be working for an hour session. Each of those children would have their own learning programme. So although there may be four or five children sitting at the table with me, each would be working on their own programme. So it would be me helping them with different activities, so it's not a group lesson as such, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And does this fall under private education, or is there any state subsidies, or is there anything there that can assist parents? How does that all work out?
It's private, It falls under the private education band, yeah.
But no doubt it would be great if there was some extra help there for people.
It would be. Now, occasionally over the years, I have offered services at a very reduced rate for families who I know really do need the help but may not have the finances to afford the extra help. So it is something that I'm very aware of, because I want to make sure that no child is left behind.
Now, you're 10 years in business, but I take it it didn't start where we're sitting here now.
No. Initially, when I came here, I was working down at the Bundoran Retail Park. I rented a premises down there for a little while. And then when COVID hit, everything closed down. When I was working from home for a little while online. And then when we opened up again. It was a little bit after that I took this place on. So this is better for me because I actually live at this end of town. So it's a very short commute, which is wonderful.
So what exactly do you have here in this building?
In here, we've got four learning spaces. Occasionally, I have subcontracted tutors in who will work with me in the building at the same time with little groups of students. So we have enough spaces for everyone to carry out their sessions at the same time. We've got three smaller learning spaces. The setup is virtually the same in each room. There's a table with the chairs, access to all the resources. I have several computers that the children can work on. We've got all the resources they'd find in school. We try to make things more fun here so that the children will engage. So we would expect perhaps four or five activities within the hour. And we try to, with the primary kids anyway, have a very game-based approach to learning. And it makes things a lot easier for them to grasp if they're having fun at the same time.
So the bulk of them are coming after school in the afternoon. So they might be a little bit tired, you know, you can't be going on with more purely academic stuff. So as you say, that the fun side's important.
Oh, for sure. It definitely is. Yeah, we have lots and lots of games, physical board games. We have spelling games where we roll dice with letters on them. We see who can be the fastest at making the words. We've got little buzzers that we hit. We've got loads of different types of games like that. Lots of computer games that we access to, and occasionally, just occasionally, a little bit of textbook work.
And how many people could you accommodate at the one time?
Well, as I said before, we try to keep the groups really small so that the children do get that one-to-one help within a group. So four or five is usually our maximum number. We have the space to have three groups of four or five at a time, so the business is ready to expand. It's just a case of taking our time and making sure that everything is in place and everything is, you know, done properly.
Now, Elaine, you are a distinguished author of many publications?
Well, that might be pushing it, but yeah, I've certainly got a few books that I've published.
Yeah. Now, these books, we're looking at some of them here in front of you. You've done a number of them, so tell us just what they're about.
Right, the first one I published is called Master Your Times Tables in a Month, and it is a wonderful little book that's full of the tricks that I teach students to learn their times tables. Lots of kids really struggle with learning their tables, so this to me was a real passion project. It has lots of funny little tricks. One of the tricks that I really like teaching them, kids like absolutely disgusting things, don't they? So one of the facts that they find hard to remember is 8 times 8. So we say, I ate, I was sick on the floor. 8 times 8 is 64. So that one is really fun. And another one is we say 5, 6, 7, 8. So 7 times 8 is 56. It's like the times table fact backwards.
And these little things, they'll remember them, and it just makes it that bit easier.
Yeah, for sure. So the book is full of all those little funny little facts to remember times tables and lots of practice. So it's really possible to master your tables in a month if you really want to work at it.
And which was the first book that you published?
It was this times tables one. Mm-hmm. It was.
How long ago was that?
Ooh, I think it was about 2.5 years ago now.
Right, so relatively recent. And since then, a number of other books have followed, so tell us about them.
Yeah, I kind of got the bug after that. I have to keep writing now because I really enjoy doing it. Now, the study skills book that I've published, Ace Your Exams by Studying Smarter, Not Harder, this came about because I did a study skills course, a little workshop online with students last year, and I used the materials from the course and put it into written form so that I could make this book. So it is full of wonderful little insights into how to study effectively. So we look at things like active recall. We look at all the different types of note-taking that you can take to make sure that you are retaining facts. There's lots of diagrams and tables at the back to show you how to use all the different types of study techniques that you can use. So looking at spaced repetition, the sentence method, boxing method. So all the different ways that you can take notes. It's a really handy little resource, this book.
So it's called Study Skills, and I dare say some parents would spend quite a lot of time looking at it as well.
For sure, yeah. It's really useful because it is one of those things that children do not really get taught at school. You're just expected to know how to study. So it's a very useful tool to have in your toolkit.
And another one here, Maths Smart, test questions for 7 to 9-year-olds.
Yeah, now I really feel passionate about making sure that children can complete work that's supposed to be for their level, particularly with maths. It's one of those things that children think, I'm not a maths person. And parents are really guilty of saying, oh, I wasn't good at maths either when I was at school. And you're almost giving them that permission slip to say, no, I don't need to try if you do that. So this book is a little assessment book. It has practice questions that you would expect a child at that stage in school to be able to complete. So it's laid out in a really easy format with answers in the book for parents to check, and you can even get your kids' percentage score. Now, I've grouped this. I used to have each of these as single years, so 7-year-old book, an 8-year-old book, a 9-year-old book, and I thought it would be better to group them together so it can be a better resource for people who want to keep on working and work at the next level. So the next one of those is in the pipeline for the older students from 10 to 12. So watch out for that.
And one thing that strikes me, they're very well laid out. They're quality publication. The graphics and things like this is very important. Do you do that, or do you get somebody else to help you with it?
My very first book, The Times Tables, when I got someone to design the cover for me, and I've been working with the girl who runs that company for the last few years. She's called Claire Clark, and she produces books for people. She's based in England. So I've been working with her, and I've been learning different techniques. So I have taken lots of leaves out of her books.
People can purchase the books here. They can also get them online. So it's a source of revenue for you, and people can review you as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I think it's important for any business to have some sort of extra revenue streams that might be passive or semi-passive. And for an education business, this is a no-brainer to be able to help other people in your world without having to take on extra classes all the time, because time really is difficult sometimes to fit lots of people into the centre. So this is another way that I can help.
And embracing technology, I see you've little leaflets and barcodes here so somebody can scan in and get more information.
Absolutely, yeah, that's quite an important thing because we've got to move with the times, haven't we? I even have a QR code for my social media on the back of my phone cover so that when I'm networking with people, they can have access to make contact with me. So, all prepared.
Now, back to the fun side of things. We've been looking at maths tables and things like that, but we also have here the beautiful Bundoran colouring book with a lovely picture of the terrace down at the East End?
Or the, we're in the West End.
Yeah, West End. Yeah. And the different colours. And so this, no doubt, is used here.
Yeah, now this one is brand new. It's literally just arrived today, so I'm really glad you were in here today. Now, this, I think it's really lovely to have something that reflects the town as well. I'm proud to be a resident of this town. And what I've done is I've produced lots of images of different places in the town that people would instantly recognise. So the beachfront, the ferry bridges.
That's not you surfing, though.
That's definitely not me. I don't think I could even stand on a board, never mind surf a wave. Belly boarding, I think.
But lovely for people to see, as you say, familiar sights around the town. And the churches, there's shops, there's the seafront, there's hotels. So lovely to colour in something that you know.
Exactly. And I think sometimes we've got to remember, learning needs to have little punctuated breaks, and something like that is just ideal. It's a bit of mindfulness as well. So to me, it's the flip side of the coin for spending time focused on learning. You also need to give your brain a little bit of space to file all the information. So to me, it ties in beautifully with the other work that I do. It's another facet to developing children's brains.
So it's quite a wide-ranging selection of books that you have. Here's another one, The Little A to Z Book of Literary Terms, A Guide for Exam Students. So again, this is looking at an older age group.
Yes. Now, this one came about because when I was working with a lot of junior cycle and leave insert students, I found that they were not very familiar with the terms that they would be expected to use within their essays and their exams. So this book is literally a dictionary. It's ordered A to Z with all the different terms that they might need to know, like assonance or, you know, foreshadowing, hyperbole, all sorts of things, juxtaposition, metaphor, all the things that you would expect to see interspersed within their essays. And it gives examples based on a lot of the text that they would be familiar with. So I would have a little description of what the word entails, what it means and where you could use it. And I would also give an example with a text that they might be familiar with. So it's definitely an excellent little tool. And I recommend this to a lot of the kids that I work with who are doing English exams.
And the people who are purchasing the books online, is it primarily an Irish audience or are you getting ones from other parts of the globe?
Ooh, everywhere, to be honest. Yeah. My Times Tables book, I've had photographs sent to me from America, from Malaysia, from all over the place, where people have bought the book and sent me a photo of them smiling and holding it. So it's lovely to know that you've got such a wide reach on helping people.
So that must give you a great sense of satisfaction.
Oh, it does. It definitely does, yeah. It's quite incredible to think that you can help people that you've never met.
You're listening to Business Matters on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. My guest this week is Elaine Lingard, founder of Emerald Education in Bundoran. Let's hear now about her plans for the years ahead and how she unwinds away from business. But before that, she's been telling me about the support she got from the local enterprise office and also about the Mums in Business Network. So the business has developed through a lot of hard work on your behalf. But we hear that, you know, a lot of people starting off, there are good supports out there. There's grants, there's mentoring, and you've been able to avail of some of these things.
Yeah. I was very grateful when Leo gave me the opportunity to get the grant that they were offering at the time to have a website built for me. So I had built my own website before that, but you could tell it was not a very professional looking one. It was good to start off because, in my opinion, it's good to get something done rather than not having anything. But having that grant from Leo and making this lovely, shiny new website was absolutely a turning point for me. So getting those kind of grants and supports from local groups is absolutely crucial. Another thing that I managed to avail of was a course called Mentors Works, and I had a 10-week mentor program that I managed to obtain for free, and I worked with some amazing people on that, so I was very grateful for that too.
Yeah. So the local enterprise office, often a very good first port of call. As a self-employed business person, the business climate, what are the main difficulties that you see at the moment?
Well, I think I'm probably fairly immune to a lot of the things that other friends of mine in business are going through, because people usually need help with education. I do see when money's tight, people pull back from classes. So the financial climate does affect just how many students I can work with. But touch wood, and I will be eternally grateful that I've had a steady cohort of kids all the way through, and long may that continue.
So outside of the hours when you're actually engaged with the kids and the teaching here in Emerald Education, some of your time is spent about dispatching the books and do you use the post office, or how do you send them out?
These books here, I would be selling the books that I have in the centre directly to people who come into the centre to purchase them. I would recommend people who are wanting to have books posted out to them to buy directly from Amazon, because that's the quickest and most sensible way to do it.
Elaine, in your business, word of mouth is very important, as is networking, and you're involved in particular with one local group.
Yes, I am involved with Mums in Business International. It's a wonderful networking group that's across the globe, and we have our own branch of it here in South Donegal and Sligo, which I lead. We have networking opportunities online, and once a month we meet in person, and we have different speakers who come to speak to the group. We would do training, and we would do all the bits and bobs that it's very difficult to do when you are a solo entrepreneur. When you're working on your own, it's very hard to get all those skills and to get that support that you might normally get if you were working for a company. So networking is crucial. I found that out the hard way.
And you just never know who you're going to meet, and somebody could have, they could just be that missing piece in the jigsaw for an area that maybe you lack expertise.
Absolutely. Now, myself, I know that I really benefited from the people that I met in my network in the last 4 or 5 years, especially going to national meetings for Mums in Business International. We have big conferences maybe once every few months, and meeting people who run different kinds of businesses that help fill the gaps in my own knowledge. I can either work with them or learn from them, which is probably one of the major reasons that my business is moving forward. So networking is absolutely essential.
Now, we never stop learning, and looking at the wall here, I take it you're often doing some course or something or other.
Yeah, I'm guilty of that. I'm a non-stop learner. Yeah, recently, I think it was about 2 years ago, I completed my master's degree, and I said to myself after that, nope, I'm taking a break, but I've got itchy feet again. I've been looking at different courses online, so I've got a feeling I'm going to do another one soon. Yeah.
And, you know, that's the beauty of the age that we live in now. Years ago, if you weren't in one of the cities, you would have been restricted in what was on offer, but there's so much available now online.
Absolutely, yeah. Now, I've worked online with different courses. Most of my courses up on the wall that you've seen there are from online learning. I've worked with people in America. I've become a reading interventionist working with people in America, and I have got all these skills that I wouldn't necessarily get if I was just looking at attending institutions that were nearby. So I'm really grateful for that opportunity.
And just before we conclude, just tell us a little bit about your website, and if people want to find out more information, how do they find out about Emerald Education?
Right, yeah, my website is emeraldeducationcentrebundoran.com. Bit of a mouthful, but it means that you know it's me. And I can be contacted on social media, on Facebook, Emerald Education Bundoran. And again, on Instagram, you can find me on Instagram, emerald.education.
A lot has happened in the first 10 years. What's going to happen in the next 10?
Oh my goodness, that's a question, isn't it? This year, for example, I am focusing more on steadying the boat, if you like, because I have worked very solidly, very hard for the last few years to build the business up to what it is today. So this year is all about consolidation. I am trying my best not to run with any new projects. I'm trying my best not to chase the shiny stuff and just consolidate and take stock of what's happening and maybe try to carve back some time for myself.
And on that important point, away from the business, how do you unwind, and what sort of way do you revitalise?
I'm an avid reader. I absolutely love reading. So whether it's reading physical books or listening to audiobooks, I love to do that. I'm very keen on drawing and painting. I did my first degree in art and education, so that's my other outlet. I love to draw and paint, and quite often you'll find me sketching away and doodling away on things.
So from an early age, education was always sort of something that was very much in your thoughts.
Oh, for sure. I wanted to be a teacher since I was about 4 or 5. I used to line up my dolls and teddies and teach them. And I never thought about doing anything else. That was my passion. That's what I wanted to do.
Well, my thanks to Elaine Lingard of Emerald Education in Bundoran. You've been listening to Business Matters on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. You can contact me by email at businessmatters@highlandradio.com. This programme and indeed all the previous episodes of Business Matters are available to listen back to as a podcast. If you go to the Highland Radio website and to the playback section, you can scroll down to Business Matters and select the programme of your choice there. Well, that's it for this week. May I wish you a healthy, happy and profitable week ahead. Until the next time, goodbye.